broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. I understand that over on Kauai at Poipu Bay, NCIS Hawaii is on the course. And, of course, if you'd like to play a round of golf there, there's a 9:30, a 9:50, and a 10:40. And if you've got a Valentine's Day wish, how about you be the ninth caller this morning during the show when we say to call 808-545-1111, and you're the ninth caller. You win. Got a great show lined up for you today. We've got Steve Pike coming in, business, food, golf, travel writer. We got Paul Guzman, marketing director of Bat Caddy. Yeah, you can customize that Bat Caddy now with all your favorite colors. Bob Ranquist is with us, Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, COO. They just had their get-together, the conference, and their trade show. It's going to be fun. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated. He's with us, author Tiger and Phil. And Mark Rolfing, NBC and Golf Channel analyst and commentator, after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, and the proponent of a golf hub in Waikiki and a Top Golf in Waikiki. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you today?
Oh, it's a beautiful, chilly day. It's 51 degrees. I was just thinking, 51 in Volcano. I wish they'd bring that golf course back. It's beloved by so many. But I'm great. How about you? Are you having a fabulous time being home?
I really am. You know, I start up again in 2 weeks with a big run. Right now, CBS is televising the golf, so they're in Phoenix this week, and they're in L.A. next week, and then NBC takes over starting at the Honda Classic. I'll be going back and forth a little bit to the Golf Channel studio in Connecticut and working all the way through the Masters, and then I'm happy to report that I will be working Lotte for Golf Channel this year over on your island.
Bravo! On Oahu for Lotte, and I wonder if they'll have a media room.
I don't know. I wonder if they'll have a golf course site. We haven't heard that yet. I hear they're getting close.
Oh, good. Well, yes, you know, it was Colina for a long time. Then we never found out why. They went over to Kapolei, and now we're wondering where. So, of course, Mark Rolfing will keep us abreast of the situation. Yes?
Yes, he will. He will. I've got a lot of news I'm holding inside me right now, which is I'm going to explode with some pent-up demand here pretty quick. But, yeah, there's a lot of really good things happening on Oahu right now when it comes to golf.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about Callaway and Top Golf's very good income numbers later in the show. And, of course, Mark Rolfing being a proponent of Top Golf near the Alawai Golf Course. I didn't want to say on the course because it wouldn't be on the course. On the acreage bordering Kapahulu, Date, Alawai. But that's not the only vision you've got. Now, what, you know, all golf organizations like Hawaii's Aloha Section PGA, possibly, and others, Hawaii State Golf Association, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, we've talked about this for a long time, about making it a hub at the Alawai. It's a big clubhouse. Would there be room?
Well, Alawai, Danielle, and I'm going to only be able to give you a little bit of a teaser today because the official announcement is going to come on Thursday this week. So everybody get up early and pick up your morning Honolulu Advertiser on Thursday, and you'll read some amazing stuff about what's going to happen out at Alawai. But as you well know, Danielle, Olawi has been one of the most iconic public golf courses in America for years and years. And not just, you know, it had the moniker always of being the world's busiest golf course back when they were doing 220,000 rounds a year. That's not the case anymore. But more importantly, it was a hub, and it was a gem. And we had big tournaments there, national public links championships. It was a course where so many of our great junior golfers grew up on, and so many of our iconic professionals and amateurs played out there. I played in a number of Hawaii State Opens out there in the day. And, you know, in the last decade or so, Olawi has suffered. There's, you know, let's make no mistake about it. The rounds have been down. There have been issues with the course in some ways. And as I kind of looked at it, it became clear to me that really if we started talking again about making Olawi truly the home of Hawaii golf and kind of the hub of golf in Hawaii, it was going to springboard lots of other things to happen along with it. I can't really go into a whole lot of detail today, but we're going to announce on Thursday, this coming Thursday, a major relationship between the city and county of Honolulu and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association First Tee organization. As you know, those two organizations in junior golf merged a couple of years ago. Mary B. Porter King, of course, was the founder of that organization, and I've been involved since the beginning, 20 years ago. And it was kind of a smaller organization that conducted great tournaments around the islands. Its headquarters were on the island of Kauai, of all places, thanks to Mary B. and her husband, Charlie, for giving us space. But it was time to make a move.
Okay.
And so the one thing that I will tell you for sure that you're going to hear on Thursday is that the headquarters of that organization, the HSJGA, and the First Tee, the headquarters are going to move to Olawi, effective at the beginning of next month. And if you just kind of close your eyes and start thinking of what the implication of that may all mean, you know, the sky is kind of the limit as far as I'm concerned. But that is something that is going to happen very quickly. And along with it, there's going to be just a couple of major announcements of news that I think is really going to make golfers all over Hawaii really, really happy.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, of course, I would love to see the UH golf teams have a home course. That would be fantastic. So if I don't stop talking, Mark's going to burst because he's not going to be able to contain all this information. Not really. Will you be on next Saturday?
I will. And you can come up with the hardest questions. You'll be reading a lot of things, seeing a lot of things. You know, there are short-term things that are going to happen very quickly, like at the beginning of next month. Things are going to change fast, and it's all kind of in the name of growing the game, and particularly providing, you know, opportunities for our youth, because that's really why the organizations of HSJGA and First Tee exist. So there's a lot of really cool things happening, and I have to say kudos to the city and county of Honolulu and Mayor Rick Blangiardi, because even in difficult times like COVID have presented us, they've been very proactive. And it's amazing to me. This is in a lot of ways going to be a groundbreaking deal that's going to be announced on Thursday.
Well, Mark Rolfing, a golf analyst, golf commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and contributor to the book, The Dad's Advice Project. Of course, a proponent of a golf hub in Waikiki and Top Golf in Hawaii, Waikiki as well. Thank you for being on the show. We'll talk next week. I can't wait to ask you those tough questions.
You got it, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Aloha. So we're going to come back. A lot percolating on the PGA Tour. You know, all kinds of obnoxiously greedy. And what are those amateurs? Now, this is from a completely different person. What are those amateurs doing running this game that was thrown out again yesterday? We're going to bring Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, into the clubhouse. Also, he's the author of Tiger and Phil, kind of their relationship and how it wasn't much of a relationship some time ago. And of course, it's changed considerably as they've grown together. older. Bob's going to join us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, yes, indeed, and author Tiger and Phil, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we couldn't talk about it before, but it's done. And I see that you're writing for Sports Illustrated. You're a senior writer, Sports Illustrated. There's also a section of Sports Illustrated called Morning Read, and you have a weekly read in Morning Read.
Yeah, that's right. They're sort of like combined. You can get the newsletter in your inbox for free, or you can go to SI.com and get the stuff. It's kind of the best of both worlds for golf people. And I don't know about that senior writer title. I always ask people when I'm called that, is there anybody called a junior writer? I was never a junior writer, but now I'm a senior writer. It kind of like I kind of have a phobia about that.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm going to count on you because things have gotten really strange in the world of the PGA Tour. We've got, you know, the Phil. I thought we'd be talking about Phil throwing the obnoxious greed around. And then we got to deal with Charlie Hoffman, who had a bit of a tough time on a hole yesterday at Waste Management. And then he wrote this lengthy post on Instagram criticizing the PGA Tour for allowing amateurs at the USGA to make the rules, took the PGA Tour rules officials to task for a terrible penalty line area, and said he understood why players might want to jump into another league, presumably talking about, you know, the one led by Greg Norman. And then I understand, I just saw your post on Twitter, that he's kind of made an about-face of sorts. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an attempt at apology, at an apology, you know, there this morning where he's kind of wanting to, you know, say, you know, recognizing all the blowback that he's gotten and felt like, hey, you know, if you don't speak up, things don't change. And, you know, he's right about that. And look, I might even agree that the rule is a strange rule, and I think it probably deserves some attention. You know, if people don't know what happened,
he hit his
ball in the water off the tee, I believe it was on the 13th, and it was a lateral penalty area. So where he had to drop was on a slope, so the ball kept rolling out of the drop area. So after that happens twice, you're allowed to place it. So, but there was hardly any grass to even place on. And apparently, after he placed it, after a few seconds went by, the ball rolled into the water. Now, typically in that situation, if the ball rolls, you just play it where it lies. But if it goes in the water, you have to take it out of the water. That's a penalty. That does seem harsh. I give him that, But by the same token, it's not the PGA Tour's fault that that's the rule. It's a USGA RNA rule, and I don't know. I just think there's probably a better way to handle it. I mean, maybe he should have called a rules official over before he placed it and said, "Hey, look, this ball might roll in the water."
Yeah.
And try to figure something out, because obviously that's not fair either. So anyway, it's funny how these little controversies pop up over these crazy rules in golf. And yet, then he kind of linked in the whole Saudi golf stuff and the alternative tours. And my question to that is are they not going to play by the rules of golf? I mean, they're going to clearly play by the USGA and RNA rules. They're under the banner of the Asian Tour. They fall under the RNA. If they play in the U.S. or Mexico, it would be USGA. So that part of it I didn't get either, unless he thinks that they're just going to go make their own rules. Which, he seems to be suggesting the Tour should, and they've never shown any inclination to do that. So.
I understood, and someone pointed out that there are other types of rule situations where, people actually get relief when something similar to this happens. So there are places in the rule book where things don't jive. So it is frustrating, and I get that he's frustrated, but as you say, dragging, the Saudi situation into it here and suggesting that, that was like, huh? Okay. Are you trying to use this as a reason why you want to go? Just speak up and speak your mind. And I mean, with Phil Mickelson and this Saudi Super League and the PGA Tour, there's Mickelson accusing the PGA Tour of having obnoxious greed. Brooks Koepka weighs in saying, don't know if I'd be using the word greedy if I'm Phil. Brandel Chamblee, he called Mickelson a highly paid ventriloquist puppet involved in a sports washing operation of a murderous regime guilty of human rights atrocities. Okay. Mickelson responded to his critics with, I've not explained everything that's transpired over the last 7 months, and that'll come out soon enough. I'm like, what? That is so strange. So according to Phil, the PGA Tour isn't paying the golfers what they deserve. Other organizations, the PGA Tour only gives 26% of the revenue. Others give 55% of the revenue. This is getting to be just a lot of, I don't know what to say about all this. This is nuts. Either you want to go to the Saudi, you don't have to come up with all these excuses why you're going.
Well, that's the great sort of mystery and divide, or conjecture or controversy about this whole thing. The bottom line is, the reason I think this has legs is because strip away all the things that players get on the side. Strip away endorsements. Strip away the fact that they, have all these bonus perks.
Right.
And thing, FedEx money and this and that.
Okay.
In terms of what they earn on the course, none of it is guaranteed. None, zero. They have to earn it. Now, I can certainly make the argument that that's part of the beauty of golf. You get what you earn. But if you compare it to other sports, I'm not trying to compare golf to the NBA, but Steph Curry makes $54 million a year. If he does not make another three-pointer the rest of the year, he's getting the rest of that $54
million. Yeah.
If John Rahm hurts his elbow or, has an injury and doesn't play the rest of this year, He gets zero. You know, and so this is where the players, I think, have a point. The top guys get nothing guaranteed. I've been using Ricky Fowler as a great example. Ricky Fowler brings a lot of, you know, he brings a lot of value to the tour. You know, he's popular. When he's on TV, they show him a lot. You know, he's a nice guy, signs autographs, does things for the tour, has a following. He had a bad year last year. He didn't even qualify for the FedEx playoffs. I think he made about $1 million, which, of course, you know, to the rest of the world, nobody's crying for him. But in terms of what he brings and what he was paid, it's probably off. He didn't make the playoffs, so that he didn't get the FedEx riches. You know, he wasn't contending at the Players Championship, he didn't get to take part in that big purse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now obviously he's getting paid plenty off the course. I don't think anybody's worrying about these guys not getting by. But Steph Curry gets plenty off the course too, off the court.
Of course.
So this is where this Norman thing, you know, this Saudi Golf League or whatever it's going to be called, you know, they're talking about guaranteed money just to sign on, no cut tournaments, so you get paid every week, you know, $20 million purses every week. You know, I think last place money would be $90,000. So if you finished last every week, you'd make like a $1.4 million just there alone. So this is why it has legs and why there's a lot of chatter about it. And, you know, we could argue it both ways, but I think that's what it comes down to.
You know, I see your point completely, and I've asked myself when this whole topic of guaranteed money would draw the guys out to the Middle East or wherever the guaranteed money was being offered. Why doesn't the PGA Tour offer some kind of lucrative guarantee to some of the players, the ones that can be lured away? I mean, it was some tournaments, you know, the Pebble Beach. It was like, guys, you know, you just, no wonder the PGA Tour said, you're going to have to promise to play Pebble Beach at least once every, 4 years, if you're going to go anywhere? Because otherwise everybody gets stripped and of the, you know, the charity dollars. That's a whole nother thing that I ask about. You know, okay, you raised $1 million. Well, the PGA Tour could easily give $1 million to charity in the community wherever it's playing. You know, that seems to be like just something that would fall on the floor if you were in Jay Monahan's office. They just seem to just have so much money. And I get it.
Well, you know, the tour, Danielle, has kind of responded with, you know, they increased the FedEx money this year from $65 million to $75 million. The winner's going to get $18 million. You know, the PIP program that was sort of mysterious, $40 million, now $50 million, that... The program they have for the regular season winner, where they were paying out $10 million, I think, to the top 10 guys who were topped in points through the Wyndham, has been increased to $20 million. You know, that's great. That's a lot. And the Players' Championship purse of $20 million. But the problem is, again, it's all based on performance. You know, if you're, you know, to use my example, Ricky Fowler, if you have a bad year, none of that, you don't get any of that. Nothing matters. You know, it doesn't matter. Whereas a guy like Ricky Fowler, based on his, you know, his potential, you know, his record, his popularity, would probably be getting some sort of guaranteed money. How you figure that out, good luck. I do not know. But that is, I think that is kind of what they're talking about here.
Yeah. And they also, the guys, you know, they're independent contractors. So they can choose to play, for the most part, wherever they want to play or not play. Especially if they're like Tiger Woods, he was playing 14 tournaments a year for a while at some point. And if you go to the Saudi League, whatever it's going to be called, as you said, they're going to have to play. There's no, I don't feel like playing this week. It's like, oh, yes, you will. So there's a lot of trade-offs. And
you know, that's the irony of this whole thing, okay? The proposed Norman, you know, league, which would be 54 hole tournaments and, you know, a team component and the big purses and guaranteed money and all that. And look, there's some of it that sounds pretty appealing. You know, I mean, I understand. I mean, I think there might be some interest. Like, I think we'd be curious. But here's the funny thing about it to me. What the players who want to do that are complaining about is their lack of ability to play wherever they want. You know, they feel as independent contractors, they should have the right to go do this and not lose their PGA Tour membership. But what's funny is however many tournaments that league has, if it's 10, 12, 14, 16, you know, it's a number somewhere in there, you're going to be required to play all of them. Everyone. It's part of the concept. They need all 48 players every week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a team part of it. And I'm sure they'd have some sort of alternate system for injury. But, like, you're not allowed to just bail on one. You know, so, like, the very thing that they've sort of, you know, put out there is, hey, I'm an independent contractor. I should be able to do what I want. Well, they're not going to be able to do that with them. They're going to have to play them all.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that, you know, we all have to show up to work, right? I mean, all of us employees. So it's a whole different ballgame if I could say, hey, you know, I don't feel like going in today.
Right.
Yeah, right. It's always a pleasure. Bob Herrig, I'm looking forward to your book, Tiger and Phil. Is that in April? Can we pre-order?
You can, yes. You can pre-order. The publisher loves that. They don't bill you until they send it to you, which is kind of nice, but then you know you have it coming. It's available, like, at Amazon. It's available at Borders, Barnes & Noble. On my Twitter, at Bob Herrig, there's a link that you can go to. And, yeah, you know, it's getting close. It's been a long project, and I'm excited about the fact that it's about to come out.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, the crazy part is you think you've got a book written, and then all these things happen, like with Tiger, and you got to, you know, like, redo it. That would be, boy, that would be really something.
That was a little bit of the struggle, because you know that the book is going to be done and there's going to be a time lapse before it comes out, and you don't really know exactly how some of these things are going to transpire. So, you know, I did my best to address his car crash. Obviously, Phil's win at 50 in the PGA. And I left open the possibility that they're not done. You know, I didn't write it as if it's all in the past tense. You know, I leave open the possibility and actually the hope that they're still, you know, that they're still competitive a couple more times down the road.
Bob Herrig is at bobherrig.com. Excuse me, on Twitter. Go to Bob Herrig. You need a web page.
Exactly.
There you go. And indeed, right there in the page, write, talk about golf, Indiana Evans Scholar alum, awesome program. If you're still looking for, you know, check out the Indiana Evans Scholar, and Evans Scholarships, you know, are available for not just Indiana University. Wrote a book about the Tiger-Phil rivalry that's out this spring. And right there is read.macmillan.com. Okay, so you just click on that and you can pre-order. And awesome having you on the show. Thanks so much.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. Bob Rehnquist, COO, Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. He's with us next. They've just had their conference. I wish I'd been there. I have a soft spot for superintendents of golf. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
You know, Valentine's Day is on Monday. Yeah, Monday. What am I going to get? Okay, how about winning 2 rounds of golf at Poipu Bay? 2 rounds of golf at the beautiful Poipu Bay Golf Course. You just have to be the ninth caller. 808-545-1111. Call now.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Edile parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Waipahu and now Edile. Power equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
The 2022 GCSAA Conference and Trade Show, that is the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. They just had their conference and trade show. Welcome into the clubhouse, COO Bob Ranquist. Good to have you on.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, last year you folks had this virtually. It must have been so much fun to see each other again.
It really was, even though we had a very successful virtual event last year for our conference and trade show. Golf course superintendents are part of a strong community. They have strong ties to each other, and it was really a pleasure to get back together again personally this year in San Diego.
Yeah. Now, during these conferences, you elect a president, and Kevin Breen, the 86th president of the GCSAA, certified golf course superintendent. He's at La Rinconada.
Rinconada.
Yeah, in Los Gatos, 1 year term. When a president is elected to be a Golf Course Superintendents Association of America president, does he bring any of what his, like, what's important to him in the world to the table? Yeah.
Absolutely. Every superintendent has different priorities, both at their facility, but also in regard to our association. And Kevin did a wonderful job when he was elected as president at our annual meeting of outlining what his priorities for the year. And we're looking forward to, as a team at GCSA, and helping him and our board implement those priorities in this coming year.
Great. And so what are Kevin Breen's priorities? Just some of them, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, as most golf course superintendents are concerned with, it's being sure that golf is more inclusive. That's one of our major emphases right now. We have an external DEI group that meets together, and that's one of our primary emphasis right now. Kevin is a strong proponent of that. Also, in continuing to provide the quality education that we provide for our members, and in growing the organization. Those are all things we continue to work on, improving our relationships with other golf organizations, USGA, the PGA of America, the PGA Tour. Those are all priorities for Kevin in this coming year.
That's wonderful. Now, I'm just curious, being more inclusive as an organization and having more inclusive, everyone being able to play the game of golf. That is inclusivity on two different levels. But I'm curious for the people who are going to be playing golf and bringing more people into the game of golf. How does the golf course attract people from all different walks of life?
Well, one topic of discussion right now for those who haven't played before is to provide more shorter tees, build tees further forward that will allow people to be comfortable with the game till they become more efficient at it or better at it. But in many ways, you know, being sure that golf courses have as much as possible open times for people, from all different groups to play. We're working with several other groups to support getting young people into the game. That's one thing that we feel like is key. We have a first green program that basically goes out. We conduct on-site visits where we have schools. We coordinate that with public schools and private schools, primarily with public schools, to bring a group of anywhere from 30 to 70 students out at the either junior high or high school level, some even with grade school, and introduce them to golf and show them that golf courses are beautiful places to be and environmentally sensitive and friendly places to be. And it's been amazing the response we see from parents that come along with them. It focuses on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. And we show them demonstrations, the golf course superintendents, how they take care of the environment, how they measure areas, for instance, on greens, tees, or fairways. So that education, that STEM education component combined with realizing that golf courses are environmentally sensitive and great places to be has been very beneficial and very helpful for those that don't understand golf as well.
I want to be a kid again. I mean,
well, we need to be sure and let you know. I know we will have an event or two. We, of course, COVID sort of placed that on a pause for a while, but we are again beginning to have those first green sessions. So I will be sure that when we have one in Hawaii, I will be sure that we get in touch with you and let you know where it would be. You would be welcome to come.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I'd like to, you know, talk about it again on the show, too. I spent a lot of time when I was a kid growing up in a very natural surrounding. It was a farm, and
right.
We grew things, but around the farm there was all kinds of nature wanderings. So children who are able to experience that, I think they walk away with a much larger feeling about their connection to the earth. And it's in the fascination that it sort of brings out in you, you're discovering things that you'd never seen before. You know, there was a time when children, where do eggs come from? You know, not out of Safeway. You know, that's wonderful. It's great to hear. And that's why, you know, I said at the beginning, I have a soft spot for the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, because I think if I were working at a golf course, it would be inside there. For golf courses, you talk about teeing it forward, and I love that. I think everybody should be encouraged, so you're not intimidated, to just, you know, you don't have to tee off where everybody's teeing off from. You can actually go forward and say, hey, you know, you just have to tell everybody that you're going to be there. And that just makes it so much more fun, you know, and it's got to be fun. And people say, Danielle, golf's not fun. Well, if you're going to spend 4 hours with friends, you don't want to be in a constant state of shock. couldn't perform as well as you'd like to. Yeah. So this is great. When it comes to turf, some of the incredible engineering feats that you've done as an organization to make the grass more sustainable. Where are we now with water requiring less water for the grass and other turf?
Well, GCSAA does an environmental profile series, which we're currently performing again right now. It's a detailed surveying that goes out to our members. Over the last 15 years, the first two environmental profile series showed that we have reduced water usage on golf courses just under 25% over the last 15 years.
Wow.
And those efforts will continue. Hopefully we'll see some improvement, or at least holding our ground when the results of that come out in a couple of months or 3 months. But we monitor that carefully. Our members respond to that. They're very honest about it. They're not cheating, so to speak, and because they are they are dedicated to being good environmental stewards.
Yes.
And we are, to give you an example, Danielle, we are very heavily involved into working with federal, local, and state administrators, with EPA and other governmental organizations, to be sure that we're doing the best that we can in those areas. We've grown our environmental department. Our government affairs department has grown from what was just a couple of employees 15 years ago. We have about 7 employees now that are focused on that. We go to National Golf Day, which could not be held physically the last 2 years in Washington, D.C. But 3 years ago, when we attended that event, there were about 320 members from the golf course world, so to speak, there, PGA professionals and USGA and others. Out of those, 160 were golf course superintendents. We have a program called Grassroots Ambassadors, where we try and have a superintendent that's a member of our association that connects with their House of Representatives member or the one of the two senators from their state. We're at about 475 ambassadors right now. We still have a little ways to go to get to, you know, the potential that's 535 or so. But what happens, those grassroots ambassadors contact their local House of Representatives member or senator. Usually they work with their aides for the first year or so, and then eventually they get an opportunity to have a meeting with that legislator, senator, or the congressman. Oftentimes they come out to the golf course and take a trip around the golf course with that grassroots ambassador, and they see what golf is all about from an environmental standpoint. And we've been able to really impact the opinions that some of those legislators have through that program, and we'll continue to do so.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. I was reading some of the news from the GCSAA conference and trade show. How do you guys say that, GCSAA?
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that, okay. It's Golf Course Superintendent Association of America is almost easier for me to say. I was reading a team from Purdue won the annual GCSAA Collegiate Turf Bowl competition. What is the Collegiate Turf Bowl competition?
Well, we've done that for a number of years now, and it's an exciting part of the conference and show. We have teams, four-person teams or five-person teams in some cases, from universities that have turf grass management programs. And they compete. They have to identify different types of grasses and weeds. They have to work with some soil samples to determine some of the characteristics of those. They do several things that are hands-on, in addition to some written questions, and then there's a panel of judges that examines the results and works with them to determine who does the best job of answering the right questions. And this year we had a strong number of teams again, and it's been a very popular program. The students get really excited about it. At our closing session on the last portion or last event that occurs in our conference and show, the top 10 teams are announced, and there's a lot of excitement there. And there's some small cash contributions that go toward those teams and universities that win also. It's become very competitive over the years.
I bet. So the team from Purdue won for 2 years in a row. And I just have to ask, because when you think of, you know, bowls, you know, college bowls, that's usually like football games.
And right, right.
Just trying to figure out, are these guys out there on the turf?
Well, it's becoming more guys and gals now, too. So there are more female students that are entering turf management programs. And we have concerns that not as many young people are coming into our profession as 25, 30 years ago when golf course, a lot of new golf courses were being constructed and built. And as a result, there's great opportunity for young people to enter into our profession, into our business, and be very successful at it right now.
Wonderful.
So we're trying to promote that. And these kids, again, they get really excited. Actually, out of the top 10 this year, Purdue had three teams.
Wow.
Some of the larger universities like Purdue, Penn State, and several others, actually 8 or 10 of them, do have multiple teams that participate. But then we have some from very much smaller colleges that are there also. So it's an equal opportunity for everyone.
That's wonderful. This is you are a wonderful organization. You're reaching out on so many different levels. When I was growing up, we called, you know, the group of guys and girls, men and women. It was all guys. All the guys
right.
are coming together. So that's very unisex on my part, and I'm glad to hear that more women are involved, because we want to grow things that's very nurturing. It's a wonderful, wonderful profession. And Vince Gill was there. That
yes.
is so nice. He came in. Tell us about Vince Gill's participation.
Well, we have an award that we give every year, GCSA has done for quite a number of years now, called the Old Tom Morris Award. It's been won by people like Arnold Palmer was the first award winner. And what it does, it recognizes those who have given back a tremendous amount to the game of golf. Not just been successful at it, but also given back to it through contributions, through their involvement in helping other golf organizations grow. Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Bob Hope. There have been a dinosaur. There have been a number of celebrities and great golfers that have won. Gary Player was just a couple of years ago. Last year's winner was Jim Nance. They are very honored to receive that award, and Vince was really excited. He has done a tremendous amount in the state of Tennessee to advance and promote golf and to expand its reach in that particular region. He loves to play. He's a very good player. I was shocked to hear during his acceptance speech that he's actually, his lowest round is a 62.
Whoa.
But he also was very humorous in his description that he had played with many professional golfers, including Arnold Palmer. In fact, he sang at Arnold Palmer's funeral, which was a great honor for him and a tribute to Arnold's greatness. But at the same time, he said he's played with all these great professionals, and he's never beaten one of them yet. They've always beat him. So that was very, very, a very humble admission on his part. And he does play quite a bit of golf, but really we recognized him primarily for his time commitment and financial contributions to the Tennessee State Golf Association. They built a facility there to help young people learn to play, to get them into the game. And he certainly was a worthy recipient for us this year, just as Jim Nance was last year. He's done so much for the game itself. So we're very blessed that some of these folks are willing to accept that award. And each one of them in my long career have been very humble about it and very gracious about it. So we're proud of that.
Bob Ranquist, COO, Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, following the 2022 GCSAA Conference and Trade Show. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Danielle, again for having me. And it's been almost 25 years since I've been in Hawaii, and my wife and I would have been back the last 2 years had it not been for COVID. So we're looking for another opportunity to return to the islands there in the next year or two.
Yay! Great. Thank you for being, again, a great guest and for bringing us into the conference. Hope we'll see you in Hawaii soon and talk about, of course, whenever you, the turf, you let us know about First Green program. That would be great. All right, we're gonna bring in our next guest. First, we have to take care of a little business. Paul Guzman is marketing director of Bat Caddy. Could get you walking and playing golf. And that cart will just go on its way right ahead of you, wherever you want it to go. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ibilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ibilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Ibilay. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Upmililani, Bell, congratulations. You're going to Poipu Bay. 2 rounds of golf are yours. Happy Valentine's Day. Have a wonderful time. It's absolutely spectacular at Poipu Bay. We understand that Hawaii, what is that called again? NCIS Hawaii's on the course this morning? Yeah. Okay. Paul Guzman, Marketing Director, Bat Caddy. It's an electric golf caddy. It's batcaddy.com. Paul, welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on, Danielle.
Absolutely. So how long have you been making these electric push carts?
Well, we've been around since 2004. Electric push carts in worldwide golf have been around for a lot longer than that, just not recently, well, until recently, really in the United States, where we tend to like to ride in carts or carry our bags. So we've been pushing really hard for the last 15 years to get people out of carts or to put down their bags and enjoy the game kind of the way it was originally meant to be played.
Yeah. Yeah, walking is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So, Bat Caddy, it's wonderful. I was looking at the different, you have lots of different models. If you could tell us a little bit about, you've got the Bat Caddy Classic, the X3, and then the Bat Caddy X3 Sport. Now, what's the difference between the Classic Bat Caddy and the Sport?
Well, the Sport has a couple of upgrades as far as a USB charger for your phone. It also has a timer mechanism on it that allows you to hit a button and send it down the fairway, and it'll stop on its own, so you don't have to necessarily walk along with it the whole way. The biggest difference for us in our models is those are both non-remote controlled carts. By far, our most popular caddies that we have are the remote controlled ones, and those give you, if you've ever had a remote control car as a kid or knew someone who did, you can drive that thing all over the place and around, drive in circles around you while you're walking down the fairway, drive it up and park it right next to your ball. We're still trying to figure out a way to have it drop a ball off the back for you if you need one. We don't have that quite yet. But they're a lot of fun on the course.
That is, you could have like a flotilla of them, and everybody could do like everybody's in unison doing the little moves as you.
I like that.
Yes.
Synchronized golf caddies, yes. The next Olympic sport.
Yeah, I think that would make a really great ad, don't you, on television?
I do.
Yes. Now you've just launched. You just came back from the PGA show. How was the PGA show?
It was great. We had a lot of fun. We got to talk to a lot of people. It was a little disappointing this year without all the major manufacturers there, so that left a little bit to be desired, but it really kind of gave us, as a smaller company, a lot of time with some people that maybe wouldn't have stopped by our booth before. So it was really good for us. We had a ton of fun. We got to play a lot of golf with some cool people, and we got to introduce our new colors that are coming for the season, which is a pretty big deal for us as well.
Yes, yes, and that is this Bat Caddy custom color program. So people can get their Bat Caddy. By the way, if you want to know what we're talking about, just go to batcaddy.com. It's tell us what a Bat Caddy is.
So a Bat Caddy, at its core, is a push cart with a motor on it so that you don't have to push or pull or carry your bags, and it lets you get out of the cart and walk if otherwise you wouldn't be able to, which is awesome. You know, from my personal opinion, as someone who kind of grew up, you know, carrying my dad's bags and running around the course, you know, it's a different game when you walk versus when you ride. So we're really dedicated to encouraging people to get out there and walk the golf course. And so our model range has been the same for the last 5 years. And what we've done is, in listening to our customers around what's next, we've kept our technology really simple. So we haven't done a lot with that in the last couple years. Our goal is to keep our caddies really simple to operate and to let you focus on playing golf. So our feedback was personalization. People wanted caddies that looked like their own, right? We even had some of our customers who custom painted and hand painted their own caddies, flames, skulls, right, to get them to stand out on the course.
Right.
So we worked with a painter, a paint company, and what we've come up with are custom colored caddies from our factory, which is awesome. So we have a choice of over 2,000 colors for your caddy that you can get stock. It's all automotive grade paint and finish, so they're going to last a really long time. If in those 2,000 colors you can't find a color that you like, we'll custom match any color that you want. You just send us in your match. We'll be just like the paint store and do exactly what you want, whether it's team colors. We just did one for an ex-NBA player to match his old team. So we've got a lot of really cool possibilities out there to stand out on the course.
You know, golf's come a long, long way that we have flames and skulls on.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and it's fun. You know, it's one of the cool things about being in the industry and being a part of a category that's kind of coming into its own right now, especially since the pandemic, and we had so many courses where people couldn't use carts, you know, and we were able to provide and give people a way to get out there and play golf through everything, that to see the, you know, the surge in younger people or people who didn't think about playing golf before coming from other sports and other types of athletes has been really awesome. And to be in touch with them and to provide a almost a cool factor mm-hmm. on the course a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I think my caddy's cool, you know. I'm
right.
rolling down the middle with my blue and orange back caddy. And, you know, I get looks, which, you know, we all try and look nice out there, I think.
Of course. Like, you know, our game might not look nice, but we do.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm going to look really good shooting my 94 today. That's what I'm saying.
So how hard is it to fold up and put in the car?
Very simple. Our X8 model, which is one of the ones you can get with custom colors, is as simple as loosening one knob, and then the whole thing folds up on itself.
Wow.
And lifts up into your car. Really simple.
And they're pretty light?
Yeah, the frame itself is 22 pounds. The batteries that we have come off of the caddy before you put it in your car, so you don't have to worry about lifting that as well. And our batteries, depending on which one you get, weigh anywhere from 4 to 25 pounds.
Wow, 25-pound battery. That could go for a long time, couldn't it?
Yeah, we do have some older battery technology, which are the heavier ones, which are more like your car battery. But we also offer some of the best battery tech out there. Our advanced lithium battery will last up to 2 rounds, and that's only 7 pounds.
Wow. you've got this down, don't you? This is, well, I guess after, what, 15 years?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a little bit. And like I said, over the last 5 years, what we've really done, the technology for the motorized caddies is about as far as it can get. So we've really worked on tweaking our designs, listening to our customers, finding out what's going to work best on the course and what's going to bring the most enjoyment. And so that's where we're at today.
So the electric push cart, the simple ones, the Batcaddy X3 Sport or Classic, for instance, those, they're electric. How do you push them? Do they push them, go themselves, or they're not remote controlled? The remote controlled ones you have to get a higher end one.
Correct. So the Classics and the Sports are non-remote controlled. So they have a little control knob on the side, mm-hmm. and you turn that knob and it'll go as fast as you want it to go, up to 7 miles an hour if you're into the speed golf game.
Got it.
It'll get you there. But once you have the speed that matches your walking speed, that just sets at its own little cruise control, and then you start it and stop it with one button the rest of the round and just walk alongside of it. And you're free to think about your next shot, hopefully forget about your last one if it wasn't too great, and let the caddy do all the work for you.
I love it. Just don't forget to press the button, because otherwise your bad caddy's going to keep on going.
That's right.
And you'll be trying to line up your shot, and there it's going. No, this is wonderful. I'm absolutely enamored with the whole process here. It's great. Love your work. Paul Guzman, Marketing Director, Batcaddy. It's an electric golf caddy, and you can customize it. Hey, flame skulls, surfboards, whatever you want to put on your back caddy. That's it, okay? Thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thanks, Danielle. You have a great day.
You too. Aloha. All right, we've got our next guest coming in, and we're going to be talking a little bit about a little business, a little travel, a little golf course design, a little this, a little that. Steve Pike, owner and editor, Spikes Peaks, and it's spelled P-E-E-K, like peaking, or not even. Okay, Spikes Peaks, the art of travel. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few $100s. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
absolutely gorgeous day in Hawaii today, and there's lots for you to do if you'd like to play a round of golf. It was 51 degrees volcano this morning. Makalei is upcountry too. Beautiful countryside. It's not on the ocean, it's in the forest. Don't be intimidated. It's a wide open kind of scene. It's beautiful. There's peacocks. It's really nice. Makalei has an 8:36, a 9:40, a 10:30, so probably not going to make that 8:36, Danielle. Poipu Bay has a 9:30, 9:50, 10:40, 11:10. I say this because I want to say congratulations, Belle, again. You're going to go play Poipu Bay. Pearl Country Club is sold out, but Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:36, a 9:20, 11:10. Bayview has a 10:48. Makaha East, 8:51. So 8:51, if you're close to Makaha, that course is getting some play. It's really exciting. Wailea has a 9:10, 11 o'clock. Emerald Course has a 1:20. So the 9:10 and 11 is on the gold. The Emerald Course has the 1:20. Blue Course has a 1:30. They have a 9 o'clock, but if you're really close by, you'll make that 9 o'clock. It's only 8:05 in the beautiful 8:08, where the forecast is, and I've lost the forecast. Here it is, right in front of me. The leeward side, mostly clear, so it's going to be sunny today for the most part, and we're going to have trades, 10 to 25 miles per hour. The low, 63 degrees. To 68, depending on where you are, of course. Upcountry could be even colder. And enjoy your day. Please be safe as you go out and play. Put the sunscreen on. We want to make sure that you are going to not burn, because we know if Mark Rolfing were here, he'd be saying that, you know, be sure, reapply. It's really important. All right, let's bring him now. This is Steve Pike, and I'm on his website, myspiketravel.com. It's Spike's Peaks. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm really good. It's Saturday. Can't complain about a Saturday. It's a beautiful day. Now.
Exactly.
Exactly, right?
It's nice here in South Florida, too.
Is it? Is it a beautiful day? Going to play a round of golf?
Actually, I am. I'm there now, so.
What golf course are you at?
Trump International.
Oh, my goodness. Really? What's it like there?
It's about, you mean the weather or the golf course?
The golf course
is fantastic, and the weather is fantastic.
Weather's so, fantastic. Golf course is fantastic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You've got some interesting stories. I mean, if you go to Steve's website, myspiketravel.com, it's not just travel. Steve has all these different stories. You are prolific. I mean, it's just amazing how many, the Fab Four of Valentine's Day restaurants in Palm Beach County, right after fighting back against Wall Street, Callaway Golf to publish comprehensive sustainability report.
Right. Yeah, well, when you've been doing this as long as I have, some of this stuff just sort of rolls off.
Yes, I get it. I get it. Okay, experience Alaska Panhandle at Salmon Falls Resort. Now, that sounds interesting.
It's right? Beautiful up there, yeah. It's not too far from Seattle. It's very nice.
Very nice. Okay, but let's talk about, you know, Top Golf and Callaway. They merged a while ago.
Right. And yes.
Yeah, so that was a while ago. But apparently, you know, I always find it interesting watching the stock of different golf companies, because they never get much more over 100, do they?
No, not really. I don't think there's anyone right now that that is even close. The two you would look at would be the Acushnet Company, which is a parent of Titleist and FootJoy. I think they're around 47, 46, something like that now. And Callaway is around 22 or 23, and it continues to struggle and go down, despite the fact that it continues to set record sales and earnings numbers. And I know that just by listening to Chip Brewer, who's the CEO at Callaway and has done a great job, listening to his voice in the with the analysts on the conference calls, that's frustrating a bit to him.
Can't get no respect. You know, it's like, yeah.
No, exactly. And I think some of that is because the analysts and Wall Street don't really understand or can get their minds completely around Topgolf and understand Topgolf yet. So it's new to them. It's been around a long time for us, but it's new to them, and they're still trying to figure all of that out. I think that's one of the things that Chip and the Callaway executives will be spending a lot of time on in the second quarter, which is talking to analysts and talking to investors and interacting as much as they can to sort of bring them up to speed, as it were, and to really go through the nuts and bolts of not only all of their business divisions, which includes Augeo and Travis Matthew and Jack Wolfskin, but particularly Topgolf.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit just to bring folks up to speed. Topgolf was, you know, roaring along in 2020, and along comes 2021, and things just kind of fell away. So maybe people are still stuck in that, Topgolf's losing money, it's not making much.
Well, it made $58 million in 2021 and brought in a little over $1 billion in revenue. So it does make money. It does make money and it does create revenue. Again, I'm not sure that the Wall Street analysts and some investors in particularly understand all of the dynamics that go along with Topgolf. And sort of it's not a dirty little secret at all. It's not the right phrase, but it's still over $500 million in debt. So I think that's probably something that has some analysts and investors worried a bit too. Now that said, Chip and the company have done a great job in dealing with some of that debt, and they give you all the right answers and can show you all the reasons why they're doing what they're doing, and it all looks well and it's all good. But the frustrating part is Wall Street just isn't convinced yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, is it a fly-by-night sort of thing? Is it going to come in big, big gangbusters and then peter out and people will be tired of Topgolf? What's the chances of that?
I don't think right now it's that good. I mean, I think as COVID begins to go away, you're going to see a lot more corporations and a lot more meetings and business groups start to head to Topgolf. That's what Callaway says it saw towards I think the last half of the quarter in December of 2021. The first part started out slow because of the new variant and that sort of thing. So this is a Topgolf slowdown overall. But as it came into December and all that started to go away, the business and the corporations and that sort of things picked up a lot, which helped drive Topgolf's business through that last quarter.
So,
and you have to remember too that a lot of Topgolf's business, that corporation business and the meetings business and that sort of thing, a lot of that is not only getting out there and swinging a golf club, but a lot of that is food and beverage. You know, somewhere, I wouldn't say half. I haven't seen the exact number, but it's probably close to half of Topgolf's revenue is based on food and beverage, and that's fine too. Wall Street doesn't care how you do it, but it just hasn't quite understood it all yet.
Is it really $1.088 billion last year?
Yes. And remember, that's really without a first quarter, because Callaway didn't merge. It didn't really close on it until March of 2021.
So why don't they just pay
off?
It will be
more this year if everything holds true.
Why don't they just pay off that debt? Or is the debt a good thing to have for tax reasons?
I don't know anything about taxes, But the world, corporate world, revolves a lot around debt these days. So that debt's not. They will tell you that debt is not too bad and it's manageable. And I just did a story, I think this morning, that posted about how Callaway has determined that it doesn't need as much, that Topgolf doesn't need as much funding from Callaway Corporate as the executives thought it did back in March and April, which is another good thing, because they have maybe an extra $200 million Callaway corporately does to invest in Topgolf in other ways.
So what is this, this comprehensive sustainability report? What people, planet, product, procurement? I read that in your story.
Yeah, I think that's just another way to introduce investors and analysts to Callaway Golf and to show them a little bit of a peek behind the curtain at Callaway Golf, probably more so than ever before, despite the fact it's been a publicly traded company now for, almost 30 years. But it's important to remember, too, with no disrespect to anybody at Callaway or my late friend Ely Callaway, who founded the company. Before Topgolf, it was Callaway was, a billion-dollar company at $1.2 billion. The same with Acushnet, and Acushnet's closing in on $2 billion. But that's big in the golf world. That's small in the Wall Street world. Yeah. So some of these, some analysts won't get out of bed for $2 billion. So you have to sort of keep that in mind, too, that you're introducing, in a way, a whole new facet of people and investors and analysts to your world, which is continues to grow. And as it continues to grow, it's going to get more attention from Wall Street, good and bad, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like the idea they're having an investor day that's coming soon. Take the investor to Topgolf. What do you think that's going to be, an investor day?
Well, I think they would. I don't know. The details haven't come through on that yet. I think that's they'll take investors and analysts, I assume, and they could either do that in Carlsbad at the headquarters in Carlsbad, California, or they could take them to the big Topgolf facility in Las Vegas. They haven't really said what their plans are for that. Then I'm sure they sort of have it all outlined, but they haven't detailed anything like that. But it'll be, instead of Callaway going on a roadshow, the roadshow will essentially come to it somewhere. Yeah. I suspect.
All right. I've never heard of this place, and so we're going to go there because this is interesting. The next great golf destination. You've given this quite a bit of hype there. I'm talking with Steve Pike, owner and editor of Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel. The next great golf destination, Cabot Citrus Farms, World Woods. Boy, are these names getting more and more complicated or what?
Well, it's World Woods is going to continue. World Woods was founded in the early 90s by a Japanese businessman. I think with this sort of intent to create what Cabot's co-founder Ben Cowan Dewar wants to do now, which is to create an entire golf resort and village and sort of a new town unto itself there in West Central Florida, somewhere, so let's say between Tampa and Orlando, but it's actually north of those a little bit. And for some reason or other, that never panned out. So it's basically just been a golf club, World Woods Golf Club, for the past 30 years. Two excellent golf courses designed by Tom Fazio, but they were starting to get a little old, a little long in the tooth. And it was an excellent opportunity, I think, that Ben saw for to enter the U.S. market for the first time, because he has Cabot Links and up in Nova Scotia, and he's doing Cabot St. Lucia. Excuse me. Down in the Caribbean, this was an excellent opportunity on a very unique piece of ground with two Fazio golf courses that they're going to be renovated. to come into the U.S. market and to really make a splash in that part of Florida.
Wow. And partnering with Mike Kaiser?
He partnered with Mike Kaiser, I believe, on some of the on the Sand Valley project and a couple others. I'm not sure. I don't think Mike Kaiser is too involved in this project at all. But don't hold me to that.
Okay.
But he and Mike Kaiser have partnered on other projects before. I'm not sure that this is going to be one of them. I think maybe Cabot Links was, but I'd have to go back and double check.
So World Woods. With the two Fazio design courses, I love the rolling hills, sandy soil, towering sand pines, palmetto trees, and this always gets me. Okay, the century-old moss-covered oaks. Oh my!
Yes, yeah. The moss. It's interesting because once you get up to that part of Florida and into the Carolinas, South Carolina, North Carolina. A lot of the trees are covered with what's called Spanish moss that hangs from the trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's neither Spanish nor moss. It's actually part of the evergreen family. But Spanish moss is a lot cooler name, so that's what they call it. The Pine Barrens course was originally intended to replicate or look a lot like Pine Valley, because the land is just that sort of rugged, and the topography is fits well to what it does up in the up in that part of New Jersey. And it kind of, if you squint at two or three of the holes, there's some Pine Valley influence there that Fazio put in 30 years ago.
Okay.
Whether the new architects, who will be named soon, want to keep with that theme when they renovate the course, we don't know yet.
So have you speculating any Core Crenshaw?
Core Crenshaw would be one name because they're doing Cape St. Lucia, and they also did Cabot Cliffs up in Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Canadian architect's name who escapes me right now.
Oh.
Who I think is also a front runner for that, and I can't think of his name right now.
What did he do?
I think those.
I can't think of his name either. So
I think it's Ron something or other, but I'm sorry, it slips my mind right now. Sometimes
right.
My mind gets pretty slippery. So
how's your golf game?
Well, no one has ever injured or maimed, so that's good.
That's good. So, you know, as you're watching all the things that are going on, PGA Tour, Saudi situation, you know, I love your laugh. Just your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that the tour is certainly in a strong position overall. Because it's really, it's ball, and it can take it and play with it any way it wants to. And that's one of the reasons why it's, you know, these guys have been independent contractors for so long and not employees. And if they're an employee, it causes a whole different kind of firestorm. But if these guys don't want to play on the PGA Tour, they don't have to. And the PGA Tour says, well, we're a company unto ourselves. If you can either play by our rules or you don't play at all. And I think that's sort of an impasse that they're at or coming to right now. And there doesn't appear to be any sort of antitrust problems with that, because the Saudi League exists. You can't sue for antitrust and they go play in another league. And you have to remember, too, that I think it was 2015 when the caddies tried to unionize.
Yes.
The tour squashed them. So, you know, I think it's something that is certainly going to bear watching. But I think as it stands right now, most of the leverage is on the tour side. It's not to play the political game, but when Donald Trump talks about, you know, the art of the deal, well, the art of the deal is really nothing more than to negotiate from strength.
So
and the tour right now has all of the levers to negotiate from strength.
So
it appears right now. Things change, but that's the way it looks right now.
Yeah, Jay, I was going to ask you, which are the biggest elephant in the room, the PGA Tour or the Saudi Tour? You know, it's like...
Well, I would still contend that it's the PGA Tour because it's got all the TV backing. Until one of the networks jumps.
Yeah.
Then the tour should always have the leverage and deal from strength. Now things change over time. You know, if the problem you run into too is if you get some of these guys say, well, we're going to play this tour and we're not going to play this tour, and Saudis will go, you're going to play the Saudi tour? Well, that's fine, but who's going to watch?
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, not that many people watch them play on the regular tour on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. So where are you dealing from strength here?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. It's just interesting. Have you heard whether or not the TV deal that they've been negotiating forever has been actually released?
I want to say yes, but I don't know that for a fact.
Okay.
I know that there's some streaming contracts that I think have, but I don't know that it has or hasn't. To be honest with you, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the TV contracts. But in my opinion, these guys get paid like rock stars and don't deliver like rock stars, because when you look at their viewership, you're getting 2 million people watching. Well, why are you getting $1.5 million for 2 million people to watch you? Those numbers don't add up.
But, you mean
but
all
as long as the TV networks and the sponsors are willing to pay, then it's what the market will bear, and that's fine. Good for the tour and good for the players to getting that. When sponsors and the networks start to jump to the Saudi tour, Then the PGA Tour is gonna have some problems.
Well, we'll see who's the gorillas. You know what's gonna happen. It's just interesting. It's so silly. We need Tiger.
Well, yeah.
But I've got to wrap the show.
The Tiger effect is certainly on TV.
Yes.
You could argue it didn't do much for Nike Golf.
No,
but
Steve.
That's a whole different show.
Steve. Hello, Steve. I have to thank the people who make this show possible. Thank you for being on the show. Okay. We are very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to learn from a teaching professional who has spent considerable time becoming a Class A, a Class AA professional, and then a professional golfer association member, like a PGA. When you see the name of the person's going to be teaching you, and if there is a PGA after that, it takes study, passing courses that sometimes leads to members taking the PGA Director of Golf Program, the PGA Advanced Degree, like we always have Claude Brousseau, a master, a PGA master professional. So because they love the game and they love teaching, they are so committed to this game. Get in touch with a PGA. Put this on the calendar too, okay? The Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore grand opening is coming soon. Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore is next to Costco gas station on Alakava in Ivilay. You'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you can count on. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their Megastore on Alakava across from Home Depot's parking structure next to the Costco gas station. So easy to remember. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters. Well, you need help, right? Okay, you need MD Restoration, because not only will they take care of mitigating the very difficult situation situation that you've got yourself into through no fault of your own, but they will also help you to rebuild and get you back on your feet again. That's MD Restoration. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.